Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Well, hey, we're going to eat twice. We're going to have a little bit later for our stomachs, but let's just have a little soul food this morning. We dive in here, and Pastor Andrew, a few weeks ago, kicked us off on a series called Drip from the Lips, talking about the words that come out of our mouths. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on Drip from the Lips as far as the intentionality of the words that we speak, knowing that life and death live right here in our tongue. So the intentionality that we have really does matter. And we're going to continue on that series here again this morning. It is clear that the Bible does say in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. It lives in our mouths. And so what we say today matters. And I would say not only what we say, but any form of communication. It really does matter what you write, what you type and post, what you speak, what you... If there's art, the expression that you want to paint or put out there, it's coming from somewhere. And so although we're going to be talking about the drip from our lips, we're going to drive down a little bit farther is where did it even come from the lips? There you are. I see you. From where did it all come from? The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the mouth is only a byproduct of what the heart is telling it to do. The mouth is a servant of the heart. The mouth bows and bends to the desires of the heart. And so when the heart feels something, it starts to come out in an overflow, and the tongue is only doing what the heart tells it. And so the tongue responds, and it's got a lot of encouragement in life, or it's got a lot of harshness and frustration and bitterness. And it's just the overflow of what's going on in the deeper places of us, and then that will drip from our lips. Oh man, my heart's aching. Gee whiz. Oof. We all good? That is a very bad advertisement for our children's ministry. We do love kids. We do our best to take care of the children that God has entrusted us with. We usually have it planned, like, come out laughing. Come out smiling, but we'll work on our delivery of that a little bit later. It was a few years ago, Todd, you brought to our men's group a book that was called Letters from Dad. Do you remember this? And I believe it was a series, perhaps from Focus on the Family or Moody was doing. And Todd said, I read this book called Letters from Dad. He goes, this book is wrecking me. It's a mess. I said, I would love to get it. So I get this book. I read the book. I said, this is an incredible book. We want to take our men's group through this book. Here's the book. It's called Letters from Dad. And remember this whenever we started doing this. And what we encourage is not just letters from dad, but letters from husbands, letters from fathers, letters from friends, but that we would be intentional to communicate our hearts. And sometimes for men, it's hard to really express what we're trying to say, and we're not always necessarily good with words and handling the King's English very well, and it just kind of comes out, or it doesn't. It just kind of stays in. And so we talked about just the importance of just sitting and having a steady flow of a conversation that's uninterrupted, and that I got to kind of dance back and forth, and I didn't see that one come. You know, just a steady stream of flow and thought of writing a letter. And we started writing these letters. Brother Bill, I remember that you were writing a letter, I believe, to your daughter. In your opening line, you called her by her little kid name. And I don't even remember what that was, but you initiated with like this tenderness of let's rewind the tape 30 years because I remember that girl and my heart is connected as a father. And he begins to write this letter from dad to his daughter. There was this something going on in his heart that he began to express. Our men started doing this in our men's group. One of the things that I started doing is then I got these for my kids. Okay, so this says letters to my love, letters to my son, letters to my daughter. And what it is whenever you open this up, it unfolds and it looks like it's an envelope. I love being your parent because. And then as you can open this thing down, it looks like a letter. And then it's sealed on what day. It looks like it's got a stamp on it to my son. And we can flip through these for years and years. And I'll write my favorite story. Or today you did. Or my wishes for you are. And just begin to write to my kids. And one day, whenever they graduate or whenever they get married or whatever, I'll be able to hand these letters to my children. I believe that, Todd, you were creating a box that you were putting these letters or something. And guys were doing all kinds of creative stuff. And hey, I'm gonna stick this away for a certain time. And although we're calling it drip from the lips, it can be a drip from the pen. It can be a drip from the paintbrush. It can be a drip from the letter, whatever it is. But the intentionality of communicating life from my heart to someone else, I believe is the exact same thing that God did as well. When God wanted to communicate his heart, he wrote, and he wrote a lot in a book. Not only did he give us a book, he gave himself in the form that he showed up. And he showed up at the birthdays and the Christmases, and he walked into your life, and he was there at your wedding. He showed up in these moments. And there was these moments of intentionality of words that were spoken. The power of the tongue really is a big deal. Wars are started because of what we say. Governments are established by words. Law is put into place by words. Rivalries and competition are created between schools and areas because of the energy and the words in which we cheer for my team or for your team, or right, it creates an energy and an atmosphere. When dad comes through the door and he opens it after a long day of work and he's like, yeah, woo, and all of a sudden, man, there's energy in the house and there's life. Or when dad opens the door, he's like, everybody shut up, everybody sit down, where's dinner, and the dog's even running away from you, and you know, we're all like afraid. Like, not just words, but the energy behind the words matter. Even in speaking and communicating, somebody can get up here and read a scripture or a doxology. And thus saith the Lord, I am so happy. Look at the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. They're true words, but the energy behind them matter, right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. He fills me up on the inside. He animates me. When the Holy Ghost comes up on the side of a man and he begins to animate him, he just brings a different zeal and passion to life. And so there's more than just the word. We're drilling down on the heart, the kora, the being of the words as they get expressed one to another. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, it says that the tongue can be like a tree of life. In Matthew 5, 9, it talks about how we can be intentional as being peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, that we can actually speak peace. We can be agents of calm, even with our words. Tongues can give hope to the despairing. They can help educate and give us understanding. They help spread the good news of the gospel. How does faith happen? The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the preached word of God. Words change lives, right? Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 4, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if there's a critical heart, it will produce a critical tongue. You always see the negative, you always see the bummer, and I just got to communicate that because my heart's a bummer, and what's going on in here will come out of my mouth. Your mouth is just a window. It's just a peek for us to all see what's going on in there. Every time you open your mouth, you're educating us on who you are. Ah, I see what's going on in there. It really is, man. It's a window. It lets us see the kind of person that's inside of there. If it's a self-righteous heart, it's probably going to be a judgmental tongue that's going to express. If there's a bitter heart, it's going to have some frustrated, bitter words that will come out. If it's an ungrateful heart, it's going to be a complaining, grumbling tongue. The words you speak will all depend on what is filling your heart. The words you speak is depending on what you fill your heart. So let's go the other way. A loving heart will produce a gracious tongue. A faithful heart will produce a truthful tongue. A peaceful heart will produce a reconciling tongue. A trusting heart will produce an encouraging tongue. So therefore, if I know that to be true, it's not only the intentionality of my words, it's really the intentionality of the inner atmosphere. It's the inner man. It's the inner life. What's going on in here that I want to pay attention to? Now, I definitely want to put a guard on my mouth. I want to protect and guard my lips. But we're only dealing with the fruit. I want to drill a little bit deeper down to the root and get into the root of the issue, and it is my heart. And why is my heart so frustrated and so bitter and so angry? The fruit of it is I just go off on you, but there's really something deeper going on. Man, why is that person so bubbly? My gosh, what is going on in there? I can't help it. There's a golden retriever in here. He's just so pumped. He's just alive. He's just happy. He's been in the presence of the Lord, and everything is good in heaven, and Jesus is not nervous, and he's pumped, and he's like really excited, and I've been there, and I've seen him, and Those people can be annoying. Especially if you're bitter and frustrated and you're I don't like all that. And I'll just tell you, man, when our hearts get soaked in the grace of the scriptures, oh, I just want to have grace for people because he's been so gracious to me. And when my heart has been marinating in good, rich, deep worship music, oh, how can I be critical? My heart is just like a mush bucket right now. I'm just like, I just love you. Jesus loves me. The cross. Anytime we sing about the cross, I'm a mess. Or if your heart has been just provoked because you listened to a certain podcast and man, that person crawled up on the inside of you and fired you up, your heart is like, ah, let's go. What are you filling your heart with? That will come out in your mouth. And not only does it come out of your mouth, it then creates the atmosphere of your home. It creates the atmosphere of your department. It creates the atmosphere of your company. It creates the atmosphere of that locker room. It really, really does. Like everything rises and falls on that leader that's creating the atmosphere. And if the leader's dinged up on the inside, you better believe that that's going to be a bummer atmosphere for everybody to grow up in. But if that leader is pumped and inspired and he's full of life and joy, you better believe that's going to be a fun atmosphere to grow in and to train in, to learn and develop in. You're going to love being in that department. You're going to love being in that locker room. You're going to love to be in that kitchen in that home. It really does. And not only does it rise and fall on the leader, but a little bit deeper on the heart of the leader. Bible also says this in Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Do you guys know the three biggest reasons for marital problems in America? The three biggest things that will lead to divorce? Anybody know? Let's throw them out. Finances. Communication. Oh, Andrew said it. I didn't know if anybody was going to say it. He said sex. Oh, my gosh. We're Quakers. Do we do that? Somebody did it. We're here, right? I'm not going to go into all the biology and how that stuff works, but Communication, finances, and sex. That's what will put wedges between. We like to argue over finances. We have miscommunications all the time. Sexual expectations that are unmet or past wounds, and we're all dinged up around those sort of things. Man, that is the fallout. That's the fallout of marriage. We argue about that. I'll tell you even this. When you come to a funeral, you know what people mainly argue about at a funeral? Not sex. No. Not that one. Money. Money. Hey, I know grandpa's laying there. The body's not even cold, but I want his mower. I want the mower. Well, I want grandma's china. I want the plates. Well, I want the... I'm like, oh my gosh. I've been in those settings. It is wild. It moves the heart in really weird ways. And then we start saying stuff. And it's weird. Like, we're coming here to, like, honor a life and to celebrate someone. And we don't necessarily care about that in the moment. We just want their stuff. 1 Timothy says that when our hearts get moved like that, when we love stuff, it says that's the root of evil. Not only any evil, the root of all evil is when we're moved like that. There's a story in the Bible in Genesis chapter 37. In Genesis chapter 37, we see this story, and it's the royal family. So we have the royal family, and it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Jacob is about to have 12 sons, and he's going to launch the 12 tribes of Israel. Out of these 12 sons, there'll be 12 families that will then become other peoples, tribes, people groups that will then represent all of the lands of Israel. The last pup to the bowl is Joseph. He's the last guy that comes out of the lineage of Jacob. I want to kind of walk you through this story a little bit and drill down on the issue of the heart and see what words come out. And I was raised in church where we had flannel graphs. The flannel graph Jesus. It's before like PowerPoint and like cool videos and stuff like that. So while I don't have a flannel graph up here, I do have some pictures of what it looked like whenever we would use the flannel graph. Anybody like you like remember the 80s and the 90s? Yeah, flannel graph, okay. All right, so let me just tell you the story. So Jacob has the baby of the family. It's Joseph. Joseph now is 17 years old. Joseph has the Holy Spirit is upon him. He sees heaven open up. He gets dreams and visions. There's an anointing for his life. Joseph, Jacob loves Joseph. And so as he's giving out different gifts to his kids, and he's done this for years and years and years, decades now, the youngest, he gets a coat. But not just any coat. He gets like the high-end North Face, double down, like fluff jacket, cool coat. Like the sleeves might even like zip off, and it could be like a vest sort of a coat. It's got all the inner lining. It's got the thermal thing happening, and it's really colorful. He's got like a really nice jacket, okay? His brothers one day, they're out in the field. And his dad, Jacob, sends Joseph out, says, hey, go check on your brothers. So here he is. He's going to say, hey, here's what he's saying. And so then the teacher, and in my teacher, it was Jackie Long. And so Jackie Long would run up, and then she would put that flannel graph on there. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay, now I see it. Now he's getting told by his dad. So now he's heading out to the field. As he is riding the horse out here to the field or the donkey or whatever he's on, whatever his choice of Uber was, he's like, hey, guys, what's up? Hey, I'm over here. Like, yeah, we can see you coming because your North Face jacket. Like, it's really bright. All right, we see you. So he's waving, and he's like, hey, checking it out. And the brothers aren't pumped. Because they wanted some cool coats, too. And they're like, man, it's freezing out here in the Middle East. Like, I can't believe, like, man, this desert is so cold. I need a jacket. So they're all bummed and stuff like that. And so they start whispering. They start having these little side meetings. So then as he comes in here, they get really fired up, okay? And we see this energy and this anger that starts to hit. And this guy, man, he's got like a beard and like some chest hair, and that's intimidating. And he walks up to Joseph, and there's a game plan. As the brothers are sitting back, they start whispering to each other, and here's where I want to get to it. They don't even call him by his name, nor do they even identify him as their brother. Here's what they say. Look, here comes that dreamer. You ever been in a relationship, I can't even say their name. Oh, I don't even want their name in my mouth. Or I don't even identify them as my family anymore. Any parents, you ever did that? Hey, your son needs a talking to. My son, he came from your loins too. It's not like just me. Like, what's up? Hey, your daughter. One of the things that I really like about Big Bill Holder, anytime Bill's nervous. I'm not gonna expose you, Bill. It's actually funny. Bill, he'll introduce me to like his kids or grandkids, and he'll say, "Now this is my child from my first marriage. This is my first wife." I'm like, "Oh, okay." He goes, "And it's my only wife. It's my first wife and my only wife, and I've always been married to Patty." It's just funny, sometimes we won't even maybe call by names or even by relationships, and they say, that dreamer who is coming. So then they start getting this plot, and they're like, you know what? He's got a coat. And because he's got a coat, we should kill him. I mean, the story escalates quickly. Let's kill him. Reuben runs in, and Reuben is like, guys, we can't kill him, but let's like take him and throw him in a pit, okay? So let's toss him down this pit and we'll just leave him for dead. Judah comes running in, and Judah, the business dealer, Judah's like, guys, we could at least make a couple bucks on this guy, okay? Let's not just kill him. What if we sold him into slavery? We could make a couple dollars, brother's gone, we don't have to see the coat anymore. So let's kill a sheep, and let's spread blood all over his jacket. Let's tear it up. Let's rip it. We're definitely ripping that North Face logo off. I can't stand them. It should have been Patagonia anyway. Let's get that off of there. And so they're like really fired up. So as they're ripping this thing to shreds, the Midianites is our tribe, and they're passing through. They walk up to the Midianites. They say, hey, we got this strapping young 17-year-old kid. Man, he's strong. He'd be great. What do you say, 20 bucks? What do you say? If you just log into eBay real quick, we'll just make a deal for you. So they're logging in. They're ready to make the purchase, and they buy Joseph. The Midianites, they're traveling through, and they get to Egypt. Once they're to Egypt, they're saying, you know what? This wasn't a good deal, and they didn't really have, like, good return policies in the day. So they're like, we need to sell the kid. We don't want this kid. Hey, how about 25 bucks? So they sell him into Egypt. Boom. We're only 37 chapters into the Bible, and we have our first recorded human trafficking. Serious. It's the first book of the Bible, and we're selling kids into slavery. He's a kid. He's a teenage kid. And their brothers' hearts toward him caused crazy stuff. And you know where it all started? With side conversations. Talking about the person that's not in the room. Whenever you have the meeting after the meeting, whenever you're like, hey, we want to like really talk about this kid, we just can't do it. Like, we don't want to do it when dad's in the room, when my boss is here. But when the boss isn't here, then let's all get together at the water cooler. Or whenever the parking lot prophets all to get together. And that's when we really hear from God. And we go out in the parking lot, and we get a lot of courage when dad's not there. Or all of a sudden our thumbs, we have a lot of courage in our thumbs and we shoot off that text or that tweet. Or man, I got a lot of passion and I'm ready to post this thing because I can hide behind my keyboard. And all of a sudden they got all this passion, this energy while they're hiding out in a field somewhere. And it all started with, did you get a coat? No, I didn't get a coat. Why did he get a better Christmas gift? Why did part of the inheritance go to Jane I mean, Kevin should have gotten more. Let's talk about the patriarch. What's he thinking? This is Pastor's Appreciation Day. I should have went a softer way. I know I'm not addressing any issues that y'all have ever walked through. It's weird how the heart starts to move and then we start saying things. And not only do we say things, man, it just escalated quickly and they were off and running. So then this flannel graph Jesus, they take him here and they bring him into their dad and they got the coat. The coat's all just ripped to shred and it's covered in blood. And then the words that they present back was, "We're innocent." Wasn't me. A bear got him. A lion. I don't know. We just found the jacket. But not me. I'm always innocent. I never do that stuff. Oh man, we're just so hurting. Man, we're aching. What a bummer. Hey, let's just pray for Derek right now. Derek's just really going through a hard time. Not you, Derek Kane. You're fine. Let's just pray for whoever. Brock. We know Brock's really, he's messed up. Let's pray. I'm innocent in how I'm utilizing my mouth. Isn't it interesting? So then they do this sort of thing. Guess what happens to Joseph? Like a phoenix, the guy shoots to the top. From slavery to the prison. Now he's the vice president of Egypt. Says that he was second in charge only to Pharaoh, but the Bible says that he was fathering Pharaoh. So now there's 7 years of plenty. I mean, there is just blessing galore. I mean, they're bringing in the harvest. It's unbelievable. And the storehouses are overflowing. The grain bins, I mean, they can't even hardly handle it all for 7 years. And the next year, boom. And the next year, boom. And during the times when there's an abundance, they don't spend. They live lean because he knows it's not always going to be like this. So they're incredibly intentional. I mean, Joseph was an economist. Like, he understood the times and he understood the market. And he was very prophetic. So he keeps it all in there. Then there's 7 years of famine. They don't have any crops. All the cows are getting really skinny. And they don't have any money. So Israel starts showing up to Egypt's doorstep. And they're saying, if you'll just give us some food, we'll give you our cattle. Okay. And then Joseph would ration it out. You can have this. If you just give us some food, we'll give you our land. Okay, we'll take your land. And here's a little bit of food. If you just give us some food, we'll give you ourselves. You realize that Israel volunteered slavery to Egypt. They volunteered, just take my life if you'll just feed me. And guess who's sitting at the top of the food chain? Joseph. So now the royal family, the hurt and the squeeze is on them. And the brothers then come. Jacob says, hey, guys, I got to send you. You got to go to Egypt. And can you just ask him, can we get some bread? Joseph now is standing here, and he's kind of taking all the cases. The next group up, and here's how much we'll give you. And then he sees, and his brothers come up before him. And Joseph hasn't worked through all of the pain yet, of all of the words and all of the heartache. Look at that picture. Man, he's lean. He's got good shoulders and muscles in that picture. And as his brothers are coming up to him, he sees this and they're asking him, can you give us some stuff now? And he can't handle it. The Bible says that he runs behind a curtain and he breaks down and he's weeping and he's crying because all of the pain of the past starts coming over him. And the words that were said and the actions that were done and all of the betrayal that happened and all of the side stuff that was going on and the massive cover-up on his life, and he can't handle it and he breaks down. He tries to rally his heart and he comes back. And he goes, yep, we'll give you this much grain and we'll give you all this stuff. And then he tells his servants, he's like, hey, stick a couple silver cups in their bags. And whenever they get so far out, go chase them down and arrest them. And they do that, and they arrest them. They bring the brothers back in. He's like, no, okay, I can't do that. Hey, go tell them this story and report back to their father. And he's working through it, man. How many of y'all know there's some things that have happened in people's hearts that they're working through that, gosh, it takes a while. I want to put a muzzle on this mouth. Because once those words are out there, it's hard to get that stuff back, isn't it? Whew. Things that have been said and things that have been done. Where did it all come from? It came out of his heart. And I don't know that the brothers were all necessarily bummed that Joseph got a coat. I just think that they were mad that they didn't get one. Like, hey, we're all getting coats. Cool. Hey, you got a coat. Hey, let me check out your coat. Oh, I like that one. That one's neat. Hey, check out mine. There's this new thing. It's called a zipper. It's really neat and cool stuff. Like, hey, we all got coats. But we don't like that not everybody got coats. But you got one. I don't like that you got one and I didn't. And something goes on in the heart. Guys, I just want to encourage us. Man, what is going on inside of your heart? And whenever it gets squeezed, kind of we see who you are. Either you educate us by how you speak, or you educate us by how you live and the actions that you take. And rather than celebrating one another and being pumped for our brother, man, you found favor with the Father. Man, he gave you good stuff. Man, you got the promotion. Man, I'm pumped that for your marriage. Man, good for you on how you're raising your kids. Man, I'm so glad that God has blessed you in that new home that you've got. Oh my gosh, you see the size of their house? That's a little overdone. They don't need that much. Man, to be able to celebrate each other and to say, this moment is not about me, let's celebrate you. But it didn't, and I'll tell you, if that's what love for a brother looks like, I've just never seen love look so much like jealousy. And jealousy drives us to gossip. I'll tell you, here is the enemy's plan. The enemy has one plan, and it is to divide the bride. He wants to send in a wedge, and he'll do that in slippery little ways. Let's gossip about this person. Let's make little side comments about this person. And man, before long, words just begin to divide hearts. The thing that I'm contending for most in this house is a spirit of unity. Man, when brothers and sisters, when we can dwell together in unity, when we can love each other, when we can celebrate one another, it's like the oil that's poured out on Aaron's head and soaking his beard and the collar of his robe, Psalm 133. It's like the dew of Hermon that descends upon Mount Zion. It's where the Lord commands his blessing and where you experience life forevermore. It's unity. It's living together. So finally, Joseph, he gets this encounter with Jesus and he starts kind of just getting his heart all healed up, begins to love his brothers, and he has restoration with his father, and they bring him here, and then he starts returning back and releasing blessing. Hey, we'll give you the finest land. We'll set you up for years to come. Because of Joseph, he sets up Israel the way that it is today. I don't know if there's been words that have been spoken about you and you're still kind of working through that, but perhaps a Joseph story could come through it. Can you get your heart healed up, man? Take that heart to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I need you to heal me up. Because perhaps generations to come could be dependent upon you getting healed. It's true. Perhaps those little babies that are coming up through your home, they could really benefit from a really good life-giving culture. It's like a greenhouse for your kids to grow in. Maybe even for your grandkids. Man, what if there was just words of encouragement and words of validation? Man, their hearts were just kind of just raised in this jacuzzi, bubbly, warm, affectionate hot tub of love. The intentionality of our words. And words can ding, and words can heal, and words can bring death, and words can bring life. So let's take our hearts before the Lord. Let's get them healed. Also, let's be those that want to bring cultures of life. So today, let's make our mouth a fountain of life. In Proverbs 10:11, it says that our mouth can be a fountain of life. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, be slow to speak, be quick to listen. Slow to speak and quick to listen. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 and 32, to seek opportunities to speak kind and tender-hearted words, to speak affectionate love in times of need, to speak words that are for building up, that are like grace to the hearer. Chapter 20, verse 32. Now I commend you to God, to the word of his grace that builds you up. The power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those that love that, they will eat the fruit of that. Amen. Tell you, I just want us to be a church family. Man, let's see the best. Let's believe the best. The Bible says that love believes the best. Let's believe the best. Let's see it. And if we see it, let's say it. Let's say awesome, encouraging, life-giving things to those around us. Get your heart in the scriptures. Get your heart in rich worship. Get your heart in inspiring teaching and podcasts. Get your heart in these places, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. Church family, if you would, we're going to close here in just a moment. I would love for everybody to stay and to eat, to pack out that basement. We're probably going to have people come up here into our library room. We might have to have some people go into some kids' classrooms, sit at a mini table, tuck your knees, eat. Hey, the family's getting bigger, all right? And we love that, but there's always room at the table, always, all right? Pack it in. This is how we're going to sit down there, and we're going to love it. Sandra, are we going to love it? She looks giddy and happy. All right, church family, would you all stand with me, and we're going to pray. We'll close. Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that we would be so intentional. God, I pray that you would make this an intentionality with the words that we speak. God, I just pray over every heart that is here. God, I pray that you would heal us. If that heart's been dinged up by words that have been spoken, actions that have been taken, that you would heal us. Jesus, I pray that you would put a muzzle on these mouths, that there would be no death that would come from our lips, but that we would speak life to one another. God, as we head into this luncheon today, God, we just pray that there would just be a buzz in the house, an energy with the family. We just thank you that we're getting tight in this area, in this space, and just have your face shine upon our meal. We just thank you for this food that we're about to consume. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.